This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Well, good Wednesday morning, everybody. I am Glenda Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings from Flag Is Up Farms in Solvang, California. And you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for April 12th, episode 1675, brought to you by horselovers.com. Good morning, horse world.
Guess what day it is, huh? Anybody? Julie, hey, guess what day it is? Oh, come on, I know you can hear me. Mike. What day is it, Mike? Leslie, guess what today is?
It's hump day.
Woo-hoo!
Wednesday.
Hit it!
That's right, it's hump day with your Horses in the Morning hosts, Jamie, that girl Jennings, and Glenn, the geeky pony guy.
Wednesday, I can't sleep.
Yes, thank you so much for joining us. We're here. I've made it. I'm breathing a little bit better. I'm still have the pesky cold, which I found out all weekend long, everybody in my class was sick. So we're blaming the South Africans who were on airplanes for 30 hours.
That'd probably do it.
All their fault. So, yeah. So the whole class, we call it, we're desensitizing our horses to coughing.
I'm telling you, you and I should just not leave the house. That's what, you know, but pretty soon that's not going to work for you either, not leaving the house, because you're going to have a child that's going to be bringing it home.
Oh, no, I find it incredibly ironic that I am not near the disgusting, snotty 3-year-old and I have a cold.
That's probably
like, how
good.
Does that happen?
He'd have it, too. So, speaking of which, we have not discussed how your husband is making out and everybody at home. Are they surviving without you?
Oh, my gosh. Bless his heart. Oh, poor guy. So, week one, Nana came to town. That's his mom. And spent the week with them. And now he has actually taken Lucas to Oklahoma. So Nana and cousins are hanging out with him. And Chad has been working really hard on the property on our farm.
Oh, really?
You know, putting out flags for the driveway. He's meeting with the barn builder and the fence guy. I know. And so he is. But every day it's like, okay, I figured it out. We're going to put the driveway here. And he sends me this overview photo. And then he's like, he's such a nerd.
Well, he's got his drone. Like, he's flying the drone to get you aerial shots.
Right? It's about like that. But he's got a piece of paper and he's like drawing using some sort of like mapping program to like show me. And then the next day it's like, no. I changed everything. So here's where we're going to put the driveway. Here's where this is going to go. I'm like, you know, he's like, what do you think? I'm like, just call me tomorrow with your next plan. You know, I don't know. So he's working really hard at it, trying to.
My mind's on training babies and not getting my face kicked in.
Yeah, exactly. That's where I'm at right now.
Exactly.
That's my life. And it's so funny. We'll talk for half an hour on what he's doing. Then he's like, so how's your stuff going? I'm like, it's good. He's like, cool. All right. Well, I'll talk to you tomorrow.
He doesn't really want to hear about training babies.
After he saw the picture of Private rearing up, he's like, I think you need to stay away from those horses. Yeah, I can't. That's why I'm here, is to learn how to, whatever. It's fine. So now I just don't think he even wants to know what I'm doing.
It's better not to know. Put his head in the sand. Yeah. He'll be fine.
Exactly. Well, and Debbie's birthday was Monday, and I know I kind of told you a little bit about this, but I bought this huge balloon, and I tied it to the gate, and they have such a huge front gate that this huge balloon that barely fit in my car looks tiny. It looks like I bought like just a regular size normal balloon. I'm like, so I tie it to the gate and she's about to drive in Monday morning. And so I see her later and I'm like, hey, so how'd it go? Did you see anything when you drove in? She's like, oh, I didn't come in the main gate. They're trimming trees. I had to go in the other gate.
So she never saw it.
Son of a bitch. God. I wanted you to see the balloon. So even the best intentions that I had. So she saw it later. And then we drove out last night and it was popped. So it's like sad little thing hanging down. I'm like, oh no. Oh well.
It's good for one day. Well, you know, it's one day birthday anyway. So what the heck? Well, cool. Very good. Well, let's go to Jennifer and find out what's coming up on today's show, because, man, we got a lot going on.
Coming up on today's HorseLovers.com Wacky Wednesday edition, Dr. Waldridge is here with the ND Flax Milling Horse Health Report, and he is going to explain what a blood chemistry panel is and why your vet wants one. And then next up, Auditor Rita is going to stop by for a new horse highlight, and that's going to give us all the opportunity to gush over her adorable new Mustang named Juliet. And Caroline Culbertson takes the victory lap with the latest from Heels Down Magazine. So stay tuned for the fray, folks.
Thank you, Jennifer. Daily Winnie time. Well, my Daily Winnie goes out to everybody that was at the Florida Podcasting Association meeting last night. I drove down to Tampa. I try and go about once a quarter. It's a 2-hour drive, and I get home about midnight and then have to get up and do the show. And you know how I am. I go to bed early. So, but you know, when I first started going to these meetings, what, about 3 years ago, Jamie, maybe? There were 5 to 10 people there. There were 53 people there last night.
Wow.
And 10 of them were brand new that were just looking at starting a podcast. And what was really cool is they had done the premiere for the movie in the old movie theater there in Tampa a couple of weeks ago. We couldn't go because I was at Road to the Horse. And there were just a lot of people from town that came because they advertised it. Several of those people there that were looking at doing podcasts saw the movie and decided they needed to do one after seeing the movie, The Messenger. So that was kind of cool. And it was just nice to see brand new shiny faces there. And it was fun to catch up with everybody and visit. But it was also fun to see so many new people. And they're having actually to move it to a new location because we ran out of room there. So it was neat. By the next time I go, there'll be 70 people.
Nice.
Yeah. That's so it was really cool, and it's really fun to see that for our industry too, you know, for the industry that you and I have been in for so long. So that was kind of neat. All right, your turn.
This Daily Winnie goes out to, well, I missed it on Monday, and I'm really sorry to all of our Australian listeners, because the Wonder from Down Under was hard at work over the weekend and winning her 17th race in a row. It's a mare. Her name is Winx. And she's been on my radar because all of our Australian listeners were like, how dare you not talk about our horse? She's like the next Black Caviar. And so she had a race over the weekend. And the last time the Black Caviar ran at Randwick, there was 25,000 people there to go see Black Caviar. To go see Winx, they had 26,801. Whoa. So 26,000 to almost 27,000 people showed up to see this horse Winx run. And let's hear the race.
Trident Racing, the Queen Elizabeth Stakes racing. And Winx jumped as well as anything. Hartnell jumped well off the inside, but No Doubt's pushing on from the outside. Happy Clapper's going forward as well, so it's No Doubt and Hartnell in the early stages, and Happy Clapper goes into third. The United States improving. Winx jumped well, but Bowman happy to let her drift back down the outside of Exus Ferring. A length further back to Sense of Occasion. Then Harlem and Singing's been taken back to last. It's No Doubt in front, but Hartnell's punching through on the inside, three quarters away. The United States up on the outside. Happy Clapper just being eased out of that battle, back into fourth, three lengths further back to the Mighty Mare Winx. Happy she Clapper sits on the outside the of Exus Ferring, then Sense of Occasion from Harlan, and Singing is the last one. So No Doubt the real roughie of the field leads from the United States in the money last year, and it's found its position in second. Hartnell third, a length off to Happy Clapper, two further back to Winx, just shading Exus Ferring, then Sense of Occasion from Harlem, and Singing is the last one. They're running along at even splits, 1,000 meters out, No Doubt in front by a length and a half to the United States. Hartnell a lot closer in the run today. Looks as though Doyle's coming off the fence on Hartnell. He is. He's put the United States three deep, so there'll be no hard luck stories for Hartnell today. Then Happy Clapper, Winx is out three wide. She's starting to inch a little bit closer on the outside of Exus Ferring, then Sense of Occasion, Singing, and Harlem's back last, No Doubt in front. Hartnell, he's having his seventh clash with the great mare, today. And Doyle's the first to make the move on Hartnell. Gets a length in front of the United States. But here she comes around the field of Winks. Bowman hasn't moved a muscle. Doyle has on Hartnell. Here she comes, Winks. Moves up on the outside of Hartnell. Then the United States and Happy Clapper. But away she goes now, Winks, in the Queen Elizabeth Stakes. She's put two lengths on Hartnell. The Nexus Ferry, Sense of Occasion. She's racing royalty this mare. There's 17 in a row. The grandstand shaking. She wins it by about 4.5 to Hartnell. Sense of Occasion, third. The United States, fourth.
Unbelievable. It's just like all the other jockeys go to their whip and then she just, he just sits there and lets her go around all of them and bye. So here's what happened at the end. Obviously she was the favorite, but I think people had gotten tired of betting her to win because she's going to win. So her final victory was 5.25 lengths. And they just took bets. They had to wait to find out the official how much she won by, because that's what people were betting on. They were like, they were betting on how much she was going to win by. So they were like officially waiting for the final thing to see how much she won by. So that wasn't even like if she was going to win, it was by how much. So she's going to go race. She's a daughter of Street Cry. She's going to go race, and then they've got their eye on the Cox plate.
She has winnings now of $12 million Australian dollars, the second highest of all time in Australia.
Yeah. Yeah. And her win tally leaves her behind Black Caviar, who won 25, Gloaming and Desert Gold both won 19, and Ajax won 18. These are the longest win streaks in Australian racing history. Wow. So she's just an amazing, amazing. So I just had to do it for my Australian friends.
There you go. Well, I was watching the video and I still can't get over like their toilets flush backwards. They run backwards. I kept going, you're going the wrong direction.
Like, I know. It was really hard. They were like, she's 3 wide on the outside. And I'm like, well, I was looking at the inside. I'm like, no, other outside.
I didn't, you know, I know we've done races from there before, but I don't think I remembered that they run the other direction. I was like, well, they do everything backwards down there. But then they would say we do everything backwards, too.
How funny is the name Happy Clapper?
Like, I know.
And then they had one horse named the United States. It's like the whole country.
You know, listening to him call the race, too, reminded me. I listened on the way home last night to the latest Around the Track. You can find it on the Horse Radio Network app. It's the racing podcast by the Pollock Report. And they had Tom Durkin on, who was the announcer that really, you know, he talks a lot about this, too. And by the way, you'll be fascinated by this. Scott did such an amazing job, the host, putting the sound clips together that so when Tom would mention a race he called, he would have the sound from it. It was so cool. And Tom was the first one to really make announcing exciting. And he talks about the early days in announcing in the 1960s and 70s and how he was, I didn't realize, and I'll just give you a little tease here, they didn't call the end of the race. The tracks didn't want you calling the end of the race. So when they came around the last final quarter pole, the tracks wanted it quiet and the announcer had to stop talking. So
That would really suck for a radio show. Yeah. And around the stretch, coming up on the outside. And
Tom has some funny stories. You'll have to listen to this. And he is such a neat guy. And he is really, truly the one that led the way for making announcing not boring and fun. And, you know, he was a master at his craft. He was really, you know, Larry Kalmus came after him. But, but Tom was kind of the one that led the way with all of that, with all the fun calls. And, you know, he had his own style.
Don't tell anymore. Don't tell anymore.
But you got to listen to this. It is so interesting and so fun. Scott did a terrific job with that interview.
Oh, I can't wait.
Now we got to talk a little bit about, we have a few minutes to get caught up on your training, and then we have to play an interview that you did.
Yes, I got, the classmates here are so fascinating. I'm the only American, and so they're from all over the place. And I know you listen for one of the interviews with the two South African young kids, they're like 19 and 20, amazing humans. And so Debbie actually is going to have them on her show. And then we have this cool girl who lives from Switzerland that lives in Canada and moved there 6 months ago with her family. It's a really cool story. We're going to talk to her coming up. Her name is Valerie. I don't know. It's I think it's Valerie.
That's so how you said it in the interview.
Valerie, but it's spelled Valerie, but they call it Valerie. It's, I don't know. It looks like Valerie. So we're going to talk to her in just a second. The training is going great. You'll hear us update about Private. And he's our gentler. He's the one that had never been touched. We brought him out of the chute yesterday, led him around. Third day leading, but for the first time I was able to go up and touch him out of the chute and rub him all over and starting to work towards just walking up to him and putting a halter on and walking away. So he's got a lot more to learn. I can't wait to see what is going to happen. And then your little horse, my starter horse, Precious. So what they want you to do here is they want you to learn how to deal with all sorts of different horses. So while Precious is my little horse that I groom and I take care of, I don't train her as much as the other people do. And we started with her and then they kind of rotate us through the other horses. So I had Madagascar yesterday and he had his first long lining session. And I get to watch other people train Precious and I'm like, you're big too hard. Like I am such a little protective mama bear over my little filly. Like, hey, she's only 3 years old. She's 12 hands for God's sake. You're being a little rough. Like, and when God is, everybody gets very possessive over their starter horses.
Are they sick of you yet, by the way?
Oh my God. Bless their hearts. They just didn't know what they had coming. And it's one of those things that I look around. I'm like, everybody is so awesome here. Everybody's so cool. And you know, there's always that one person. There's always that one guy, you know, that guy. And I've learned that if there's not that guy, you're that guy. So I think I'm that guy because everybody else is super cool. But I paid my money. I'm here. Deal with it.
We can count on you, Jamie. We can count on you.
You're welcome. Welcome.
Thank you. It's like, thank you for representing. We appreciate it.
Here comes that American again. Quiet. Here she comes. So it's been really, really exciting and really, really fun. Oh my gosh. I just feel like it's so fun to start them from raw and start them from able to halter. That's pretty much where we were. And little Precious is, she's adorable. She's like 12 hands tall. She's this emaciated, sick looking thing. We've got her dewormed. She's getting trimmed this week. And we've got all this stuff going for it. She's so tiny and she's so cute. And I told you, whenever she like bucks or does something ridiculous, if she was 16 hands, people would be scared. When she bucks or kicks at you, everybody goes, oh, she's so funny. I'm like, it's not funny. It's my head.
Scooter gets away with what he gets away with. Because when they're little and cute, they can get away with that stuff.
Exactly. Yeah. So I do have a bit of a sore lower back because Precious is not a fan of you picking up her front left leg. Certain things you take for granted with your horse, you know, you walk up to them and you brush their mane. No, you have to clear it. You have to clear it all first. So I've got to where I can brush her mane. And then I was like, oh, I'll just slowly ease my way back to brushing her tail. And so I'm off to the side and I kind of run my hand down her back and I pull the tail to me and I put on my leg and I'm going to start brushing it. She heard the sound of the brush going through her tail and like whoosh, gone, you know. So it's just little things that you take for granted. Like you just walk up to your horse and you brush their tail, right? No, somebody has to teach them that. So it's pretty, they're just very suspicious, but it's such a good learning experience. I couldn't be happier. But let's hear from Valerie and hear about her kind of existence in the world. It's pretty cool.
Well, I'm sitting here with Valerie from Switzerland, now Canada, here at Flag Is Up Farms. We're actually sitting on some hay bales. That's what you do when you do an interview here at Flag Is Up, is you just hang out underneath the hayloft. So, Valerie, tell me a little bit about yourself.
So, hi everyone. I'm 22 years old. I was born in Switzerland and actually just moved to Canada half a year ago with my whole family, which is my parents and my older sister.
Isn't it cool to have like a Swiss accent with a little Canadian twist in there? I love it. So you live with your parents at home and they just bought a ranch, right?
Correct. Yeah, we bought a guest ranch and I don't live with my parents in the same house.
Oh, sorry.
I actually have my privacy with my sister, which is really awesome. And yeah, we are doing trail rides and we have accommodations so people can come out and have a great horse weekend or week or whatever they'd like. And we are right by a lake, so that's pretty cool too. Yeah, I love it.
So where in Canada is it and what's its name?
It's in British Columbia and the guest ranch is Whetstone Guest Ranch.
Whetstone Guest Ranch in British Columbia. Now, what on earth made you decide to want to take this course? Because if you're at this course, you have already taken the intro level course, which is offered in other countries via certified instructors. And then you have to take your intro exams and then you get to come back for the advanced course. So obviously you're in pretty deep if you're here. What are your goals and what made you decide to want to do this?
So I learned about Monty's methods about maybe 6 years ago when I saw him at a demo and I really liked how he worked with horses. So I decided to come out to his ranch a couple of years later to see the whole setup and how he works here, because it's always different working on his own farm than from working with thousands of people around in an arena. So I was still really pleased with how he communicates with horses and uses his body language, so the language of the horse is actually in a non-violent way, which is my goal with training horses to not use any violence. So that's why I chose his methods.
So you came out here to do the advanced level course because I believe the advanced course is only offered here in California. An easier flight from Canada than Switzerland, I would imagine.
Yes, exactly. So that's a win-win for me now that I moved to Canada. I have a closer trip out here to California.
So what are you planning to get certified? Because after this course, then you come back and you do the advanced exams after working for about a year starting horses, and then you come and do the exams, and then there's an internship process as well. Are you planning on going through the whole thing?
Yes, I am. So after this course, like you said, I will go back home to Canada and work with different horses and experience different horses. And then when I feel that I'm ready, which hopefully will be within a year, I'll come out here to California again to the ranch of Monty's and do the exam. And then after that, the goal is the internship and finally get certified, but we'll see where it gets me.
So you can offer, you know, at the end of all of this, you can offer courses and demos at your own ranch, or are you just wanting to train the ranch horses?
I will want to offer the courses to spread the method around Canada and to show people that there is a way to train horses in a non-violent way, as I mentioned already, because I think that's the most important part, that we understand the horses and that we stay nice and calm with them and really work together with them and not be forceful.
Gotcha. So as you're in Canada now, and forgive me for asking, we have a lot of Canadian listeners who are going to hate me right now. is British Columbia, do they speak French?
Well, where I live, they speak English. There are parts in Canada that they do speak French, but not where I'm at. So
you're fluent in Switzerland's language and America's language. So are you fluent in French as well?
A little bit. I learned it in school, but not really. With hands and feet, I can communicate, but other than that, not really.
So what kind of horses are at the ranch? When you guys took over the guest ranch, were there horses there? Or are you having to buy them for this purpose?
No, there were not any horses there when we got there. So we now have 10 horses. I actually brought one out from Switzerland that I couldn't leave behind. And so I picked out a couple from each places out in Canada after that. So yeah, now I've got a herd of 10 beautiful and great horses.
What breeds mainly?
It's a mix. It's Appaloosas, quarter horses, paints, a Polish breed, Norwegian fjord horses, which I absolutely love. They're so much fun. And yeah.
So a little mix of everything. Mm-hmm. Cool. So when you get done with this, you will be back at home training Norwegian fjords and Appaloosas and teaching the method. And so does your guest ranch offer places for people to stay? Do they stay a week? How does that work?
Yes, we have a couple of different accommodations. So whatever people want, there's like a rustic ranch house where...
So you can play cowboy?
Yes, exactly. And there's... all of them are... with kitchens, so you can cook your own meals. We do not offer all-inclusive. We just have breakfast, so everyone's kind of on their own. So it depends what you want of your vacation, but definitely if you like outdoors, if you like horses,
fishing,
and swimming,
too.
Yes. And so, yeah, there's something for everyone out there, I believe.
Do you have a website for it?
Yes, it is www.whetstone-ranch.com.
Very cool. Well, so let's talk a little bit. Valerie is my partner in crime with Private, and so she's the one that donned him Private because she read it as Private. So Private is our gentler, and he had never been touched. And as of today, we were able to put the halter on in the chute, bring him out, lead him around. I was able to, while Valerie was holding him, I was able to touch him all over, you know, about shoulder forward on both sides. And then you led him back to his pen all by himself like a big horse.
That was, these last couple of days, this last past week, it was just amazing. And you can't really describe it. You just have to see it and feel it. It's just, this feeling is unbelievable how much we've accomplished. And I have a great partner, Jamie. So, yeah, it's so much fun and just amazing how they learn so fast and learn to trust you. And from the first touch, from leading him by himself back to his pen, it's, oh, I love it.
So hopefully by the time this airs, we will have actually put a halter on him in his stall and led him to the gentling area. And then I guess, is our goal, are we going to ride him next week? No, just kidding. Get him completely handled and gentled. And then dear sweet Private is up for adoption. And Glenn, I just don't think that I can leave him here. I just love him so much, but you know, I'm going to have to. So these horses are all up for adoption. So please check out the Horses in the Morning Facebook page. I'm every day posting things to try to get these horses new homes, because I believe if they don't get new homes, they go back to Northern California where they get turned out again, and then they kind of get sorted through and put up for adoption, sadly. So you guys, take these horses home. They need love.
Absolutely. Check out the page and give them beautiful homes. They are all so sweet and loving. They will be great horses.
And dear Private will have brain surgery on the final day of class. Get them cojones removed and see if he's going to be a little sweeter. The problem is, like, the way that it's set up is there's mares and stallions in this gentling area. And so, you know, when you take a mare by, all the stallions get right up, but hello, I love you so much. And then sometimes the mares are like, I hate you, or, oh, I love you too. Geld that stuff. Do it. All right. Well, thank you for sitting down and chatting with me. Anything you want to leave everybody with?
Nope, I'm good. Just what I mentioned already. Look into these methods in gentling horses in a non-violent way. It's the best way to go. That's how you create the best relationship with your horse or anyone else's horse.
God, it's like you work for them or something. Jeez, you're good. All right, everybody, have a great day. Thanks for sitting down with me, Valerie. Appreciate it.
Bye.
So I was just on Whetstone, it's WETTstone-ranch.com, and I want to go to Canada now.
My gosh, I was just looking at it.
It's very pretty.
Beautiful.
They do dog training there as well. Horse training and dog training, which I thought was interesting.
Cool.
Yeah. And they train guide dogs.
You can see how cute she is. She's just absolutely adorable.
Yeah, and it looks like, I mean, what a cool family, huh? And did she ever say why they moved from Europe to here? To
no,
Canada?
But as soon as I was listening to the interview, I was like, God, why did they move? Exactly.
You always think about those questions after, you know?
I know. All right, I'll ask her.
No, but that is, it looks like a neat place. What a cool adventure for the family, too, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Really neat.
And her sister. And it is spelled different. It's spelled Valerie. V-A-L-A-U-R-I-E. So it is spelled a little different.
Yeah.
And her sister's cute as a button, too.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Daniela. Well, very good. That was a fun interview. Thank you for doing that. It's so cool to get to meet these people from around the world, and because it's so different for us, you know, to hear them.
It's amazing. It's one of the coolest parts. I'm going to have do you know what polo cross is, Glenn?
Yeah.
I did not. And one of the guys
you were Pony Club.
So, yeah, exactly. One of the guys here is a polo cross player, so I'm gonna have to talk to him. And then another one of the guys, girls, her grandfather started the South African breed, and I can't say the name. They have to say it. And so I'm gonna talk to her. We're gonna do a little bit of a breed highlight about a South African breed of horse.
Very good.
I can't even. So we'll have that coming up too. So lots of interesting people here at Flag Is Up.
Sounds good. Well, now we're going to head off and do our North Dakota ND Flax horse health update. And I saw that you had some ND Flax along. You took a picture feeding the other day.
I did. It's such, I mean, oh my gosh. Zeus is shedding out with this coat that I didn't know a Mustang could have. It's like buttery and beautiful and soft and golden. I just posted a photo of him enjoying the flowers here at Flag Is Up Farm.
I'm sure they love that, the gardeners there.
He was just enjoying the flowers, Glenn. I didn't say he was eating them or they were hanging out of his mouth. Wait, oh, they were.
Oops.
Okay. Yeah, oops.
Well,
of course, I'm like, oh, you got to take a picture. So the flax is amazing. It's doing an amazing job, and it's so affordable.
Jennifer just saw the picture. He does. He has this bald hanging out of his mouth.
Yeah. Good job, Zeus.
Hey, Jennifer, why don't you introduce this health segment for us?
This is another installment of our ongoing horse health glossary series that I'm doing with Dr. Waldrich and Dr. Cubitt. And this time we're going to talk about something called a blood chemistry panel. Strikes fear into the hearts of horse women and horse husbands alike. And Dr. Waldrich is going to explain what they are and why you might have one.
Very good. And then, of course, we're going to be back. We have a couple more guests, including a listener new horse highlight. We haven't done one of those in a while. I'm so excited about that and more to come.
Welcome back, Dr. Brian Waldrich, otherwise known as Dr. B. Dr. B stops by the show every so often to help us out with veterinary things. How are you doing today?
Oh, I'm doing good. We're having freakishly warm February weather in Kentucky at 70 degrees. But I'm not complaining at all.
Oh, wow. 70 degrees in Kentucky in February. That must be just beautiful.
Oh, it's nice. Grass is starting to come back. The horses are happy. So it's nice for the foals to get born in warm weather. That's really nice. nice problem to have so they don't have to worry about staying warm when they hit the ground.
You know what this is you're enjoying this right now, but 72 hours from now when the temperature plummets back down to 15 and then 48 hours after that, you get to take care of all those colics.
Well, that's right. In Kentucky, you don't need 72 hours or 72 hours to drop that much. It'll happen in 12 often enough.
Oh, my goodness. Well, speaking of horses getting sick on a regular basis, which is what horses seem to do best, as part of our glossary of horsemen's terms, this time we're going to do something called a blood chemistry panel. I want to know what it is and why would your vet ask to get one?
Well, it gives you a lot of information. And you know, if you've ever looked at those reports, you can see there's a lot of stuff on there. So kind of what I tell clients is basically I get to look at liver, kidney, electrolytes, muscle enzymes, and try and look at that and see. It kind of gives you a bit of a way to start looking if there's abnormalities, and you try and look at the different enzymes. A lot of those are enzymes, and we can look at those and try and decide, well, some of the enzymes may come from both muscle and liver. Some are specific for liver, some are specific for muscle. But if you start to see there's a little pattern, say all the liver enzymes are high, you know, well, maybe this horse has liver disease. So several of those look for liver functions, and some look for muscle enzymes. And they're high, that helps you to know that there may be muscle damage because those enzymes will leak out of the muscles. And then you have things like potassium and sodium and chloride and calcium and phosphorus, so it helps you to know some electrolyte values because, you know, some of those can indicate things like, you know, if a foal has a ruptured bladder, you see changes in the electrolytes, or sometimes in colic, if the gut's twisted, you may see changes in those. So it helps you to pinpoint a body system that may be affected and kind of gives you a broad look at what the horse's health is and what may be going on if the horse is sick.
So let me see if I get this right. A blood chemistry panel is a little bit like when you take your car into the car repair fellow and he connects it to the computer and it downloads all of its data that tells you what condition all of the different systems that make your car go are in.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, so it's a change engine light on a horse. Yeah, I kind of like that. You can look and see if you need to go and, you know, change something or look for somewhere you need to look for a disease. That's right.
Because sometimes your timing belt is starting to go, but you really don't know that until it's gone. So you take your car in once a year for its little checkup against the computer, and the computer can go, oh, well, it's getting 0.5% less tension on that thing because it's getting this less air there, and it shows up as a demographic on there. And it works the same way with the blood chemistry panel. It just gives you a systems check.
Right. Yeah, that's a good way to put it, and helps you to narrow down where you may need to look.
Well, cool. So under what circumstances might a veterinarian ask for a blood chemistry panel?
I do it on most every sick horse that comes in the hospital because, again, it helps me to know where do I need to look. And I guess another thing is I look at kidney values a lot because if there's elevation in the kidney proteins that normally would go out in the urine, that helps you know that the horse is dehydrated because it's, you know, a big problem in horses because they get dehydrated, they feel bad. And when those kidney values go up, it also makes the horse feel bad. So that helps you know, well, this horse may need fluids. And you know, muscle enzymes are important for us too, to, you know, look for if a colic comes in, their muscle enzymes are higher. Then you know that horse, maybe it's been rolling for a while, and you know, maybe the horse was somewhere where the owner couldn't see it, or the owner wasn't around to see the horse really colic. So you know, that's where they kind of become helpful to me, is knowing what problems to chase.
So it just narrows things down. Well, there we go. That explains what a blood panel is and why we would want to have one. Once again, thank you for clearing up those gray areas, Dr. B. And where can folks find you on the World Wide Web?
I'm on Facebook, and it's called Dr. B's Bluegrass, and I like to try and just put up kind of the what I see day to day in Kentucky, some of the cool horses and cool things I get to see. And you know, I'm a huge fan of racing, so I try to put up, like, I really like to have old horse stories, things about horses like Man of War and Secretariat and all those great ones. So try and just let everybody see a little bit what goes on with the equine vet in Kentucky and some of the horses I get to see.
There we go. Thanks a lot, Dr. B.
It's always a pleasure.
Today's Horse Health Report is brought to you by ND Flax Milling. Find them online at ndflaxmill.com. ND Flax Milling is a family-owned business, producing quality products for their customers for generations. ND Flax Milling has an FDA-inspected mill, certified organic, non-GMO, whole flax seed that is milled at room temperature and then packaged and stored at room temperature away from any heat or light sources. This proprietary milling process keeps all of the omega-3s intact, so your horse can benefit from all of flax's natural nutrients, yet it's convenient for busy horse owners with a shelf life of up to 2 years. No more daily battles with the coffee grinder! Visit ND Flax online at ndflaxmill.com to purchase or to learn more.
We all get in a rut when it comes to shopping for horse supplies online. If you have not tried horselovers.com yet, then you are missing out on one of the world's largest online tack shops and all the best brands like Noble Outfitters, Ariat, Turn 2, Tough One, Professional's Choice, Weaver, and many, many more. Visit horselovers.com every day to see their daily deals and flash sales. Horselovers.com has everything for the Western and trail rider. So get on over to horselovers.com today. Day and save. And don't forget to check out those daily deals at horselovers.com. And I do catch Jennifer doing that every single day. She thinks I'm not looking.
Can't help it.
She thinks I'm not looking. And I walk by and I look over and all of a sudden she's closing the window and I can see the Horse Lovers banner at the top.
It's a girl porn is what it is.
Do you hide it from your husband too? When he walks by, do you close the window?
I don't use my computer with him in it. What I have to hide is when the boxes come. Like, see, my farm sitter was at the house and I'm like, okay, there's going to be like two boxes coming. Can you put them in the guest room? Yeah. She's like, really? I'm like, just don't ask questions. Just put them away. So that's how we roll.
Well, I did notice that when I was on Horse Lovers, as the commercial was running, they have all the new carrot spring stuff. And we saw that at the show at Ada. So if you want to see all the new carrots, really cool designs for spring, hop on over to Horse Lovers.
You know, it's bad when you're at a guest computer. Like, this is not my home laptop. I'm broadcasting from the farm and I type the word H and it comes up Horse Lovers.
There you go.
No, you have a problem.
And I don't want to forget this. One of the auditors posted this. They placed an order with Horse Lovers the other day, and they forgot about the code. We have a code, and we forget to mention it. It's HRN. Right now, it's HRN, and it gets you 10% off your next order. So,
you saved me a lot of money.
Yeah, just put in the coupon code, put HRN, and it'll get you 10% off your next order. You know what she did? She called them the day after because she placed her order and forgot. And then she called them the day after and they said, well, how much is the code for? And she said, well, it's 10% off. And they gave her 10% off right away. So they were very kind about that. And that was very nice to hear. So HRN is the coupon code you want to use. All right.
Call them up and see the HRN code is 100%
off. 50%. Yeah. Maybe you could probably get away with 25, but 100's probably a little much. Let's do a listener new horse highlight.
I'm so excited. This is so cool. One of our listeners, and she's an auditor, Rita Hansen, was posting, my new horse is here. And Rita got herself a Mustang. Good morning, Rita.
Good morning, Jamie. Hi, Glenn.
Hi, Rita.
Thank you so much for coming on, because then I'm like, oh my God, you have to come on and talk about it. And she's like, no, I don't think so. I'm like, you have to. So tell us where.
Wait a minute. I didn't know she said no first. I didn't know about that part.
She kind of did. She's like, so
I said,
where?
No.
That's right. That was better. That was more appropriate. Yeah. So where are you?
We are in Glen Rock, Pennsylvania, which Glenn's probably familiar with.
Yeah, I do know where that is. Yeah.
Right, just west of where you used to live, right?
Yeah, not too far away.
Right on the Maryland line. Mm-hmm.
Ask her what she does for a living, Jamie.
Okay. What do you do for a living, Rita?
I run a sailing school.
Like, on a boat?
Sailing? In Glen Rock?
Well, that's always the question, and especially since I work from home and all you know, when I'm calling students, it's a 717 area code, so they're like, wait, where are you? So, but I run a it's a large boat, like a cruising school. So this is for, you know, we're close to the Chesapeake Bay, so our main facility is on the Eastern Shore. It's in Rock Hall, Maryland. And so we teach on large boats. So people who want to sail, you know, the boats you see out sailing on the Chesapeake Bay, big enough to sleep on.
The Maryland School of, the Maryland School of Sailing and Seamanship.
Correct.
Yeah.
Right, right.
You
right.
Actually encourage
so we
people
go all
to
the way through ocean.
Yes.
Yep.
That's cool.
So that's what I do, but I get to work from home and look out my window at the horses all day. So
nice. So you decided you needed a new horse. How did this whole thing, how did you say I'm going to get a new horse? What happened? Tell us the story.
Well, I had I've had horses all my life for 40 years, and you know, so I got sick a couple of years ago, and it started out as Lyme, Glenn.
So, I know that
and
feeling.
Then a lot of repercussions of that. Yeah, I was really sick. So I sold my horse at that point. So I've been horseless for a couple of years, and I'm doing very well now. And I thought, oh, okay, it's time. But I was looking for a different kind of horse. I've always bought babies. I've always started my own horses. And now that I'm, you know, older, I'm older than Glenn. So
what? So. I didn't know there was anybody older than me.
I'm actually older than Glenn. So I decided, you know, I want a different kind of horse. I've had sport type Morgans. I've always done dressage mostly, and towards closer when I got sick, I started doing a lot of competitive trail type of things, like distance rides, and I loved it. And I, you know, it's very exhilarating compared to dressage. It's kind of that exhilarating element, you know, that you know, you go and you accomplish something that, you know, you really bond with your horse doing things like that. And so I thought I might want to head that direction a little bit. And I still love dressage. And, but I thought I wanted something. I thought I'm going to buy a horse that's good on the trail and can also do dressage instead of the other way around.
Right.
So, I was actually looking at quarter horses, even though I've never owned a quarter horse in my life. I don't know anybody who owns quarter horses. All my friends own big warm bloods, you know, so I'm looking for quarter horses, and I was looking close to home. So I was searching for quarter horses in Pennsylvania, and somehow Juliet like came across my screen, and I don't know how that happened, that I bought a Mustang from Oklahoma instead of a quarter horse from Pennsylvania.
That's not at all close. Not at all.
No. So, but she, you know, checked all the boxes, and, yeah, I wanted something quiet, but also, you know, agreeable, that would be able to go out and, you know, do some, you know, I say trail riding. What I came to understand is when people talk about trail riding, like a lot of the quarter horse people, they go trail riding, apparently they like walk.
Yeah. What's that like?
So, yeah, like they'll go out for 5-hour trail rides, but they mostly walk. So, that's really not what I mean. I come from, I did hunters and jumpers, and, you know, so I don't go out. I like to trot and canter and, you know, ride cross country. So,
yeah,
right. So she met, you know, she checked all the boxes, and I, so basically I bought a professionally trained Mustang. So now, I didn't do what you did, Jamie.
And it was Sid Zacharias that did the training, right?
Right. Sid Zacharias.
Yes.
Right.
Sid Zacharias. Right. He is a Mustang makeover guy, if I remember right.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. So he, you know, adopts these Mustangs and does the Mustang makeover. And so that's how she came. She was 2 years wild. And then, so she was captured at 2 in Wyoming, as I understand it. And then was in a holding facility first in Colorado And then, Jamie, we talked about this online. She went from Colorado to Oklahoma. So you said she might have been a three-strike horse.
So horses that go to Oklahoma, which is the Pauls Valley holding facility, that's a long-term holding facility. And that typically means that what three-strike Mustangs are is, if they haven't been adopted within three adoptions, they're then up for sale. Basically, you can just, it's very sad. You can just buy them without having to keep them for a year and kind of going through the BLM and checking all the boxes that they have. So a lot of the horses down at Pauls Valley are three strikes. And of course, they do these like internet adoptions. And so you might not even know about it. It's not like they're traveling around the country. It's like, oh, she's up for adoption. Adoption's over. That's one strike. Up, she's up for adoption for the 5 days or whatever. Up, two strikes. So that's what I was thinking, is maybe if she's made her way all the way down to Oklahoma, that's what she was.
Right. So then Sid adopted her, and he had her. So she was in holding for like 4 years.
Down in Oklahoma.
Well, she was in Colorado. So I'm looking at her health history, and she was captured in Wyoming. There was paperwork from Colorado, and then her last health history was in Oklahoma. Okay. So, and then he had her for 2 years. So he bought her however he got her. I actually think somebody else had her for a Mustang makeover, and then Sid bought her at that Mustang makeover. I don't think he's the one that initially adopted her. But he had her for almost 2 years. And I mean, she's got so many buttons that I haven't discovered yet. So it's really neat. I talked to him yesterday. He said, have you laid her down yet? I said, laid her down?
What?
I have no idea how to lay a horse down. I'm like, what? So he's agreed to help me on the phone. He gave me a few like basic exercises to do, and he told me to videotape them, and then he'll watch, and then, he said, she'll figure out what you want, but it's better if you do it close to how I taught her. You know, she'll recognize it. So he's going to help me with that. So it's pretty cool. I have never bought a horse that's been started under saddle, and I kind of went the complete opposite way.
Yeah. That's amazing. I mean, how cool. You see this. So you bought her sight unseen, basically, aside from videos and pictures.
Exactly. I was going to go see her, but the round trip, I would have spent $1,700 going to see her. And I'm like, and I really trusted Sid. And we talked for hours on the phone. He was fabulous. And I just felt like I kind of knew her before she got here.
You know, I've never heard anything bad about Sid. You know, we've heard of him. I don't think we've ever had him on a show, but, you know, from other trainers, he's always had good reputation.
Yeah. Mary Kitzmiller says she knows him. And she said, whatever you paid for, you got a good deal.
Well, there you go.
That's a pretty good.
I got to ask you, though, Rita, was Jamie's stories of the Mustangs for the last couple of years, because I know you're a listener, did that affect what you saw was a Mustang? Did that affect you at all?
I think it did because there's not a lot of Mustangs around here. So I was not exposed to Mustangs, you know, at all. So I think my comfort level, I wasn't looking for a Mustang. You know, I was looking for quarter horses in Pennsylvania. But when I came across her, it didn't, I was comfortable with it. And I think that has to do with listening to Jamie and everybody else talking about the Mustangs. So my comfort level was probably a lot higher than it would have been if I hadn't heard all these stories.
You didn't click right past her because she was a Mustang.
Exactly. Right. Right.
Oh my gosh. That's a very small, but very nice compliment. I do appreciate it. These horses, and so you love her. She's amazing, right?
Oh, she's amazing. She is cute as a button. I mean, she's little. She's about 14'2". Gray, long mane and tail. My husband saw her, and he said 10 times, the only thing he said about her is, boy, she's got a beautiful tail. He kept saying it. He said it like 10 times. He likes her tail.
She's a dapple gray, well, you know, with the darker legs, and then her mane is silver and her tail is gray with probably a little silver up by the dock. Yeah. She's just stunning and she's beautiful and she's so classy looking, and I'm so excited for you, and we can't wait to follow along with your journey on her. And I know she arrived at 4 a.m. in the pitch black and you had to walk her a mile home, and she did really, really well. I mean, that's just so cool. Literally, right. She's probably seen it all. She was captured, put in Colorado, sent to Oklahoma, done a Mustang makeover. She's literally seen it all. We just tortured these poor guys to pieces. So they're like, trailer ride, walk in the dark, no problem.
She was on the trailer for almost 40 hours, and we got her off, and I was ready with my trailer, because we only lived a mile from where they dropped. The rig couldn't get up our lane. So there's a church a mile away, and they met us there. They called us. Our phone rang at 2:45 and said, we're getting close. And so we got up and went over. But after being on the trailer for 40 hours, we figured the last thing she wanted to do is get on another trailer. So as long as she got off calmly, which she did, she had not a care in the world. She's been in the stall on this van for almost 40 hours. And we walked her through the school property and basketball courts. And she didn't, all she wanted to do was eat all the way over. But nothing fazed her.
That's so cool. Well, Rita, well,
she is cute as a Dickens, Rita. Yeah. Cute as a Dickens. That is.
And Oliver, you know, Glenn, she's here with Oliver.
Okay.
I have Oliver. Yeah, Oliver the donkey.
Yes, 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 yes. How are they getting along?
Right. Oh, they're getting along great. I took them both for a trail ride. Now Oliver comes with me loose, and he follows along. And but what will happen is he'll stop to eat something, and he has a comfort zone of about 100 or 150 feet. So he'll get that far behind and he'll be eating. And then he gallops to catch up. So he gallops right up to the back of her. And so I was a little nervous. So I went on foot yesterday first just to see. And she could have cared less.
I just love her.
She's used to having things gallop up behind her. advantage.
Right.
There is an advantage to buying a professionally trained horse. There is a definite advantage to that.
There's no question about it. I mean, you think about, I paid pretty good money for her, but you think about everything you put into a horse when you buy an untrained horse and how many wrong roads you go down before you get the right one. And so that's how I decided to do it this time.
Good for you.
Well, Rita, before we let you go, we're just going to cut Jamie out of this conversation because she's a wimp. So before you go, I hope, and I wanted to make this announcement today anyway, but now I have somebody who understands water and is not scared to death of it. I hope that you join us on the cruise next year, where we officially announced all the details to the auditors in the Facebook auditor room today. And Rhonda, who is our legacy listener, Rhonda Crabtree from Canada, will be joining me tomorrow night for a Facebook Live in the auditor room to answer any questions. She is our official Horse Radio Network cruise director because she's done about 1,000 cruises and listened to every episode of Horse Radio Network. So she's going along. She's going to be our official cruise director, kind of answering questions for new people. And then everybody else will be putting the information out on Monday. We're going to have a couple of guests on Monday to talk about the cruise. We're going to have the travel agent. And also, we found a place to do trail riding in Nassau, the Bahamas. And we're going to have those people on. So I hope that you join us. You're not scared of water, right? I mean, I would hope not.
No, I'm not afraid of water.
Okay, good.
You know what? I feel better with Rita being on the boat because she can at least like pilot us somewhere to safety.
Well, this is what you want. This is what you want is if the boat goes down, you want to be on her lifeboat. You want to be on Rita's lifeboat because then we have a chance of surviving. Yeah,
I'm sticking with her.
Rita, thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate it.
Oh, it was a lot of fun.
Take care.
Thanks
see,
so much.
See,
hold on.
It wasn't bad.
Juliet is her name. Juliet's her name. Give her a big carrot from us, okay?
Okay, thanks so much.
And we'll use Juliet's picture on our show notes today for today's show, so you can go to horsesinthemorning.com and today's show, and you'll see her picture there. Perfect. Thanks, Rita. Hey, we'll see you on the cruise next February.
Okay, sounds great, Jamie and Glenn.
All
talk
right.
to you later.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye. Listeners have the coolest jobs. We have such a variety of jobs with our listeners. They just do the coolest things. I'm always amazed. I really am. And her daughter is a scientist. So that's kind of cool too. And this horse is cute as the Dickens. It really is. Really is cute. Well, now we're going to head off. We on the second Wednesday of every month at 10 o'clock, we talk to Caroline Culbertson, who is from Heels Down magazine. And we go over some of the cool things that they're doing over at Heels Down. Good morning.
Good morning, Glenn and Jamie. How's it going?
Good. Hey. We just got to talk to a listener who got a new horse. That's one of our favorite things to do here on the show. Because that's when you're a horse.
And I have to say that, like, the Mustang thing is so cool. Like, it was so cool to hear her talk about that. What an awesome lady.
And, you know, there in a horse person's life, there are things that just stand out. And when you bring a new horse, I don't care how many you have, right, Jamie? When you bring a new horse home, it's just the coolest day, right? It's just the coolest day. It really is.
Yeah.
And getting,
it is.
It's like having
it
a baby. It's like, you have a new kid. Yeah, you have a new kid, but you can like leave it outside.
And, you know, the whole getting to know it thing over the next month or two and doing your first ride. There's so many firsts when you get a new horse. It's just cool stuff. That's so neat. Well, all right. We got to talk about what's going on over at Heels Down. And so you sent us a couple of articles that we wanted to chat about a little bit. And if you don't mind, I want to start with the one called Is Eventing Losing Its Heart? Because Jamie's an eventer, and we've had this conversation a couple of times. Tell us about that story by Ashley Harvey.
Sure. So we were kind of looking at the eventing calendar and sort of talking about the role that some of these, you know, things like these showcase events or like the indoor eventing, you know, there's more and more of those types of events cropping up on the eventing calendar. And so the sort of question that we were looking at is that's a pretty big change to the format, the original format of you know, the 3-day horse trot, like not the long format, but, you know, even just the regular, events that you go to, the horse trials that you go to, you know, and looking at things like the cross country that's indoors, there's all these really exciting events going on. But our sort of question was, how does that affect the sport as a whole? Because a lot of those shows are great opportunities to bring sponsors into the sport. It's a great opportunity for spectators that have never been exposed to eventing to sort of be able to stand there and kind of see, you know, a little bit of the show jumping and a little bit of the cross country, and it's kind of all mixed together. So we got some really, really interesting people to speak about kind of the impact that it has. And it's, you know, as with everything, it was really a mixed bag of opinions. You know, on the one hand, you know, a lot of people felt that it's a great way to bring sponsorship into the sport, into a sport that, you know, that needs it and needs some exposure. But it's also the question of, is it really giving the sport of eventing exposure, or is it giving this kind of, you know, hybrid version of eventing exposure? Like, what are we bringing the sponsors into? So we had so much fun writing that article. And, you know, it's, of course, we got to talk to some Dennis Glackham. We got to talk to Denny Emerson. I mean, it was just a really, I learned a lot, you know, kind of going through the article and sort of doing the edits and everything. So that was a really fun one to write. And I really hope that everybody gets a chance to read it.
I know Robert Kelhouse said, what we call novice now, I would honestly equate to what training used to be 20 years ago. I see better riding, better education, better course design and construction, better sequence events, and more clarity on the levels of competition, which has been really a big deal. And one of the things that I think, and Jamie can probably attest to this, you've been eventing long enough, is that we see, I think we see, because of the rules they did change and how you go up levels and what kind of things you have to do to go up levels, is you see less reckless riding on cross country than we used to. You know, 30 years ago, when you go to an event, because you could just move up whenever the hell you wanted to, you really didn't have any rules. You would see some dangerous stuff out there. And I think I see less of that. Jamie, I don't know about West Coast. Do you see less of that now because of the change in the rules?
What the hell horse trials are you going to? I see stuff all the time. I'm like, oh my God, because there is no, you don't have to qualify to go training.
Right. Well,
and so, yeah. And training is when, to me, it starts to, you got to put your big girl pants on. And to me, that's like, that's one that, because you have to qualify to go prelim. And so you're right. The prelim riders and the upper kind of more, higher levels. I feel like if you're going prelim, you do it for a living. That's like, you know, you're kind of like a rider all the time kind of person. I mean, there's the occasional amateurs, but up through training, dear God, I see stuff. I'm like, oh boy. Oh God, I get luck. And usually that's me.
People
say that about me.
She's talking about herself.
It's not like I'm bagging on other people. I'm sure people are like, oh my God, stop. So it happens.
It was a funny thing to that, you know, that comment that Robert Kellerhouse made was so interesting, and it tied in so well to another article that we had in the magazine. It was a Frank Madden article in our April issue where, you know, it's the same thing as Robert Kellerhouse said, where it's kind of like, you know, the riding is actually like improving a lot. One of the things that really stood out to me that Frank Madden also said in this issue was, these are the best junior riders and young riders we've ever seen, like in the history of the sport. Of course it's a different discipline, but I think it's interesting that, kind of as the, you know, technicality and the safety measures and everything are growing across the disciplines in, you know, in the sport, the riding is having to adapt. And, you know, even young riders or, you know, adult amateurs that are doing the lower levels, there's a bit of a threshold. And it's kind of like Jamie said, you can't ride, I don't think you can ride, you know, 2-3 times a week and go preliminary. That would be really scary to me. Yeah.
But I think too, that the young riders have the opportunity where when I started eventing, to age me, like, it was like, you just kick on, you know, just kick on. And now there's so many more technical fences and technical questions that these young riders are kind of starting with, that as opposed to like retraining us old ass people. They're having to like, they're starting that way, and dressages and horsemanship is becoming so much more important because the scores have changed and how they kind of score everything. So I feel like the young riders are really getting really good training and instruction.
You know, one of the things that Frank said, by the way, he's the brother-in-law, right, to BZ Madden, Frank Madden. Old Salem Farm, if I remember right. And in the article, and I thought this was interesting too, and we've had this discussion, and I know this discussion's been had over in the Plaidcast, which is about jumping, about the 100 jumper world. He said Frank cautioned that many of the young riders he sees today are too impatient. They want to move up the levels as fast as they can. Mm-hmm. And that's where he sees promising riders lose interest or burn out completely. And it kind of goes along with that previous conversation, right?
Absolutely. And it's a little bit of the, with the young riders, in the sport, one of the things that he spoke about too, was that he has to prepare the parents also to, for the long haul, you know, to be prepared for, this is a lifetime sport. And, you know, we'll get you to, you know, your medal finals and this and that, but it is a longer process than some of even the parents are willing to, not willing to, but maybe prepared for.
Well, he has to warn the parents about the cost that it's going to be costing him what it would be equivalent to a college education every year.
Please, yeah, let's leave that out of it. And my dad might be listening. I'm not sure. Dad, if you're listening, please go to another room.
So I used to tell my daddy all the time, all right, Dad, turn it down. There you go. We'll be back in a minute. Turn it down.
We're about to spit some truth in here. You got to turn it down, Dad.
Yep.
But look, it keeps him out of trouble, right? I mean, that's what we always say anyway. That's the argument.
That's what I always say.
Keeps him out of trouble. Keeps him away from boys for a little longer, you know, that kind of thing.
Absolutely. And then another thing quickly, if I can kind of go a little bit off track, we have a little bit of an exciting announcement to make, if I may. So we're putting together a schedule of really unique events that anyone attending Rolex should be aware of. I know we're kind of a few weeks.
Oh, yeah, we're going. We'll be there. A lot of our listeners.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
Awesome. Awesome. We'll have to split some of that bourbon chicken. That is like the best stuff in the world.
It is. I get it every time.
I'm so excited about the bourbon chicken. Oh, so good. So anyway, enough about food. I should be talking about what I'm supposed to be talking about. The Heels Down Magazine, we're calling it the Heels Down Magazine 5-Star Rolex Experience. And all of the proceeds are going to benefit the Young Rider team. So we've got several events in the works at the moment, but two of the events that I can confirm and talk about are we're getting Doug and Jessica Payne for a watch the cross country and sort of a cross country lesson on Saturday morning, where they're going to gather up with a group of people that buy tickets for this event and sort of talk them through what the riders are doing, the challenges of the course. They're just going to provide really insightful expert commentary on the cross country. And that will be on Saturday morning. And then we've got Leslie Law, who's also going to be leading a show jumping course walk on Sunday morning before the start of show jumping. And that is a really neat one because participants will be able to actually get into the arena and walk the exact course that the Rolex riders are going to be jumping later that day. And of course, having Leslie Law, one of the best in the sport, explain the course, how to ride it, the challenges, what the riders are going to be thinking about. So again, there's going to be a few other ones that we're going to be announcing in the next few days, and tickets are going to go up on sale. And it's a win-win because all of the proceeds go to the Young Rider team. So I just wanted to, you heard it here first, I just wanted to kind of plant that little announcement.
Well, the jumping to course walk is a really cool thing because you don't get to do that. I mean, they even kind of limit the press that gets to do that. So that's kind of cool that you got that accomplished.
Yeah, we're really excited and really super, super grateful to Rolex for allowing us to do that. We're really excited to be able to get people in the ring because how many times do you get to go into, you know, the Rolex arena and kind of look up at the crowds and be walking the show jumping course? It's going to be really neat for people. We're really excited.
How can people get tickets for that? Then what do they do?
We will announce it on the website later this week. So we're going to put tickets up on sale and then start kind of adding to the events that we can officially announce. So you can go to Heels Down Magazine website. And we're going to post it all over social media and everything. So that will be a little bit later this week in the next few days. The tickets will go on sale.
And that's heelsdownmag.com is the website that everybody
that's
can look
correct.
For. Yeah. Well, one other article to talk about is one you wrote about dressage horses just want to have fun.
Isn't that the... I loved talking to Danielle for that one. So it's Danielle Gallagher. She is, if you ever get a chance to meet her at a horse show, she was the nicest lady. And she's just got a very unique way of, viewing how she trains her horses. And she, was riding for Ashley Holder for many, many years and, then eventually split off into her own business. And, she just doesn't train her horses like everybody else. And I thought that it was really cool. She has a very different training schedule. And her horses get, you know, far more rest days than, you know, most of the Grand Prix dressage horses that I know of. So it was cool to talk to her about kind of her mentality about not burning the horses out. She was a groom for many years as well. So she really knows what it takes to keep horses happy and sound and excited about their job. And one of the coolest things that I'm sure that you guys saw in the article as well is that she jumps her dressage horses, which I think is amazing.
I thought that was too. You know, a lot more of them, more today than ever before, are doing trail rides with them, and they're getting them out of the ring and out of the barn and actually turning them out. Oh, my God. You know, in a field.
What?
Yeah, I know. I know.
On dirt?
Yeah. Even, you know, turning them out like they can run around. But that, you know, you didn't see that before. And now it's happening more and more. And it's because of people like her that are doing that.
Yeah. And, you know, she talks about, her husband is a show jumper. So she incorporates a lot of sort of the show jumping, you know, mentality and kind of exercises and everything into her training. And she made me feel a lot better because she was talking about how when she goes on hacks with one of our young horses, she's like, I just kind of loop the reins at her and I just let her trot, down the alleyways with her head up in the air. And she just is looking around. And I was like, great, because that's always how my hacks look. So I don't feel so bad. There's no on the bit, very rarely on the young horses.
Well, you can find that and much more. I noticed there was an article in there, too, with Lainey Ashker in a bathing suit. So you can find that article in there as well.
Bringing it. She's bringing it.
She's bringing it. Caroline, that's right.
I got to tell you, I got this
survey.
She
is so awesome.
Yeah, she's amazing. I got this survey. I just wanted to tell you, and they were asking kind of what magazines you read, and it was always the very popular ones that have been around forever. And Heels Down magazine was in the selection. And I clicked it and I said, I read Heels Down and I listen to the Horse Radio Network. So I just wanted you to know that.
Oh, you are awesome. That is so cool. Thank you very much. That's a huge compliment.
I was thrilled. It was in the
compliment to be in the company of them.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's really, really awesome.
I'm like,
hey, that's super awesome. Thank
you. The Chronicle's not the only one anymore.
I know.
That's serious competition for the Chronicle.
But we
these
are
days.
Friends with the Chronicle. I did an internship there years ago. So I love all those girls. And they taught me a lot about, equestrian journalism. So
I know. I'm just picking.
Nothing against the Chronicle. We're friends with them.
I'm just picking. All right. Well, good. Thank you so much for joining us. And of course, you are here the second Wednesday of every month. We appreciate you stopping by and chatting about some of the things. It's heelsdownmag.com. And I guess we'll see you at Rolex.
Thank you guys so much for having me on. And I'll see you at Rolex.
Okay, cool. Take care. Well, that was fun.
Take care. Bye-bye.
What a fun day today. We've had so many cool guests and fun things happen. It's neat.
Girl power, man. All girl guests today. I love it.
That's true. It was. But I got to mention, though, that it was, and if you haven't heard Monday's show, we have had more comments and feedback on a male guest that was on Monday's show. And you had to cut. I'm so sorry, because I think you would have thoroughly enjoyed that conversation. You had to cut out a little bit early on Monday because you were so sick and could barely talk. But we got to talk with Carl Sims, who is an equine photographer and, a city boy who grew up finding his own way. And his story was absolutely inspiring and a tearjerker. Get out your tissues. If you didn't hear Monday's show, seriously, the auditors are having this conversation about how it affected them, and a bunch of them are saying, including Rhonda, our legacy listener, said it was the best interview we've ever done. So, and it really,
because I wasn't on it.
Well,
oh my gosh.
No, I didn't do anything. We just let him talk, and he told his story of his life and the drug addicted family. It just was inspiring to know that this kid, with the help of horses, decided that he wasn't going to go the route of his entire family. And now has become an amazing equine photographer and is in college and doing it all himself. And it's one you have to go back and listen to if you didn't hear Monday's show. It was really inspiring.
I got a lot of, I just heard from many people that he just, it's like he just opened up his chest and poured his heart out.
He did.
On there, and it just sounds amazing. That's the best kind of interview, when you can just set him up and just let him go.
You know, and he started out being one of those yes or no kids, and I thought, oh, here we go, right? I'm going to have to do a lot of work here. And then he just started. You know,
sometimes it can be really cathartic for people like that, just to kind of get off their chest and talk about what they want to talk about. And I think you did a fantastic job.
Well, all I did was back off. So I just let him go, and he told the story. And I didn't know a lot of the things he was talking about either. I'd read the article, but didn't go into the depth that he went into. And what an amazing, amazing individual. It just made me feel good about the horse world, and about people like him who can rise up in really crappy circumstances.
Yeah.
And make it. You know, make it on his own. So good for him. Take a listen. That's on Monday's show at Horses in the Morning. Tomorrow we'll be back with Mary Kitzmiller. We'll be doing some training. She always does some training. Plus, she got a couple of Mustangs. Did you see that?
They're potato chips, Glenn. You can't get just one. She
apparently,
two
she got two, right? So she's doing Mustang Makeover, I think, coming up. We'll find out tomorrow. Yeah,
can't wait to hear about how she just starts them and goes along with it. It's just, it's so cool. I can't wait.
And she must have a million acres, because she has like 1,000 animals. She keeps collecting more. You're right. It's like potato chips. Except I eat potato chips and they go away. She just doesn't eat them. She just keeps piling them up.
You got to buy them.
So, and then you'll be back Friday, right?
I'll be back on Friday.
Really bad ads. Get your really bad ads into Jennifer at horseradionetwork.com. We have some great prizes, and we'll talk to you all tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. Eastern. Take care, everybody.
Everybody have a great one. Spay, neuter, geld.